From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the theme of the principles of divine judgment. The text is found in verses 6 through 10 of chapter 2, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. There are two aspects of this text which have caused concern for believers. The first is the assumption that somehow Christ's blood atones only for the sins a person committed before he was saved. As Dr. Cairns has made clear, this view is totally erroneous, because the Scripture teaches that the blood of Christ cleanses Christians from all sin, past, present, and future. When believers appear before Christ at the judgment seat, it will be their godly character, not their sins, which He will examine. God has placed within His people a desire for glory and honor and immortality. That is the goal and purpose of their lives. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue this message called, Will Christians Face Their Sins at the Judgment? Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon.
The text for today is found in Judges chapter 13 and verse 23, the words of Samson's mother. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would He have showed us all these things. This is a sort of promise deduced by logic. It is an inference fairly drawn from ascertained facts. It was not likely that the Lord had revealed to Manoah and his wife that a son would be born to them, and yet had it in his heart to destroy them. The wife reasoned well, and we shall do well if we follow her line of argument. The Father has accepted the great sacrifice of Calvary, and has declared Himself well pleased therewith. How can He now be pleased to kill us? Why a substitute if the sinner must still perish? The accepted sacrifice of Jesus puts an end to fear. The Lord has shown us our election, our adoption, our union to Christ, our marriage to the well-beloved. How can He now destroy us? The promises are loaded with blessings, which necessitate our being preserved unto eternal life. It is not possible for the Lord to cast us away and yet fulfill His covenant. The past assures us, and the future reassures us. We shall not die, but live, for we have seen Jesus, and in Him we have seen the Father by the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Because of this life-giving sight, we must live forever.
Oh,
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
idea that we're going to stand before God is meant to give meaning to everything that we are. You see, if I say to a body of God's people, all you do is ever going to be brought out before God, every detail, and God is going to look at every action, and He's going to reward. My, what a downer for the ordinary Christian. I'm not a world-famous evangelist. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a theologian. I'm not this. I'm not that. Some of you say, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a worker. I'm just an ordinary person. I don't have much training. I don't have much ability. I don't have much opportunity. I'm laboring in a very, very tiny little corner of God's creation. And what does it matter? This is what I'm telling you. This is to say that it is not the greatness of the action. It is the greatness of the grace that's producing the Christian that God is looking for. And when you turn back to Romans chapter 14, where there's a parallel section in verse 12, Paul says we're going to give account of what to God? Every one of us will give account of himself. Of himself. Now, very often, the application of that to God's people is, forget about the other person that you're so busy criticizing and judging, because he's going to give account of himself and you'd be better to get ready to give account of yourself. That's all very good and well. But understand what he's saying. It's not so much God taking and going down the list. You did this, you did this, you did this. You got 7 out of 10. Fairly good. No, no. God's looking at the developed character. And here's the thing. He finds something in every believer to reward. Something in every believer to reward. Why? Because he put it there. I find rather, and I do not at all back off from my solemnity at the thought of approaching to give account as a minister of the gospel, of my ministry. But I find something that gives meaning to the life of the smallest Christian. You wonder, God puts me in a situation of physical suffering. I can't do the things I want to do. What use is my life? Listen, the Lord can develop your Christian character just as much if He were to put you in a wheelchair as if He were to put you where He put Spurgeon, the greatest pulpit in the world. He knows what he's doing. So that there's meaning to all that you're called to do, and there's meaning to all you're called to endure. Encouragement for the little people who are so often overlooked. I don't say this out of mock modesty or humility. I sadly confess that I believe it. When the story of most churches comes to be written, I think that the people, preachers first and foremost, who have ridden on the crest of the wave of human opinion, acclaimed as having done this, done that, and done the other thing, articles have said they're great preachers. Books have been written to say they're wonderful men. They have changed history. They have done many things. I think when the history of God's church comes to be written, we will come to understand a lot more clearly what Jesus meant when he said, "The first shall be last, and the last will be first." I want you to take this with you tonight. if you're a Christian, God has put my sins under the blood of Christ. The only judgment upon my sins is the judgment that took place at Calvary. The only wrath of God ever poured out against my sin is the wrath poured out at Calvary. And when we sing that old gospel hymn that says Jesus paid it all, it means He didn't pay just some of it or most of it or nearly all of it, but He paid it all. It's gone. And what Paul is writing in Romans 2 doesn't change that. And the fact that we're going to give account of ourselves to God, and the fact that God is going to reward the developed Christian character within us at varying levels. He doesn't go into that much in Romans 2, I say at varying levels, because of other passages. It's hinted here. But the fact even that we will have varying stations of service in the everlasting kingdom of God and His Christ should not take away from this glorious truth that the blood has made us right with God and that has given us a place in His church, and we will be with Him for all eternity. He has begun a good work of sanctification in us to conform us to the image of Christ. He has begun that work. And this Christian character that He has begun is being developed by the working of the Spirit, by the various situations into which He brings us. But most of all, it is to produce within us a passion for eternity. I want you to get that. A passion for eternity. What is it that God estimates as the greatest example of developed Christian character? Romans 2 again. Seeking for glory, and honor, and immortality, and eternal life. A passion for eternity. A few years back now, I'm sure, I preached in those words of Solomon, "Thou hast set eternity in his heart." That's true of all men. But the Christian, though he lives in this world and is circumscribed by the things of time, yet his vision, his burden, his passion all transcend time. And they focus on the eternal God, the eternal Christ, the eternal glory, the eternal life. That's what God rewards. That's the development of Christian character. Now do you see what I mean when I say this gives meaning to the experiences of many of us little people? You wonder, why do I suffer? Well, listen, God is weaning us. And if you haven't begun to feel this, and when you're young it's very hard to feel it, you will feel it before very much more time goes by. God is weaning you away from time, drawing you away from the world, drawing you away even from life itself, giving you a heart for home, a heart for heaven, a passion for eternity. Now that passion will express itself in many ways. Expresses itself in the pilgrim living, Hebrews chapter 11, 14. They're seeking a country, a better country. They are pilgrims, they're strangers on the earth. Their passion for eternity means that while they're living, whether it's in Greenville or New York or Tokyo or London, their circumstances on earth are really secondary. Their passion is for the New Jerusalem. Pilgrims. That passion for eternity will also be seen in seeking to save the lost. And I, as a Calvinist, deliberately use the wording seeking to save them. No, I believe as well as the next man that salvation's of the Lord and only Jesus saves. But I remember the passion of the Apostle Paul when he said that we might by all means save some. I think Paul's idea was much the same as C.H. Spurgeon's. It is said of Spurgeon that when he went into the pulpit, he said he preached as if everything depended on him. But in his closet before that service, he prayed knowing that everything depended upon God. That's the passion for eternity. Listen, men and women, if we are creatures for eternity, and if we have eternity in our hearts, and if we're seeking that glory and honor and immortality and that eternal life, and if this is the development of Christian character, then that character is going to reach out to a lost, guilty world on its way to a lost eternity. And as I said this morning, we are not going to hide behind the decree of election and make it an excuse for doing nothing and hard-heartedly allowing the world to go to hell. A passion for eternity, a developed Christian character will give us a desire, whether by prayer or giving or going or working or witnessing or whatever God lays to our hand, to have a part in the mighty drama of winning the world for Christ. This is what God rewards. And the reward of such a character and such a passion will definitely be graciously given. As I will point out when we look at the big problem that we face in this passage, and it's so big I will leave it to a whole night of its own. God's reward of what he sees in us will not be because by doing this and doing that and doing the other thing we have merited it, but God's reward will be in keeping with, it will be corresponding to that fully developed character of grace that he has wrought within us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.